Hey everybody, welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson. I'm a personal finance influencer and networking coach, as well as the founder of the Brand Building Lab, where creativepreneurs are coached on how to network, attract more money, and live their best life, basically to network, prosper, and thrive. Going to a conference sometime soon, get my free webinar, Crush the Conference. To grab the webinar, go to the show notes at michelleismoneyhungry.com/panel for more details. Again, if you'd like to get the free webinar, Crush the Conference, go to the show notes at michelleismoneyhungry.com/panel for more details. So this show, we're talking about how to moderate a kick butt conference panel. I just finished moderating my last panel of the year of 2018, and it was phenomenal. It was at my friend's blogging event, an inaugural event here in the city of Denver, the first one of its kind from a local person, not loco like crazy, but local, like the person who lives in the town. It was called Fuel Your Influence. It was phenomenal. The content, the food, the people, the swag, I like to say swag bags. It was just amazing, the job that Jenny did. Her name is Jenny Fink. She runs a website called Good For You Gluten Free. So apparently these food bloggers, man, they take the food side of the event seriously. So it was just incredible. And I had the opportunity to moderate a panel on the topic of networking your way to more money for your blog, basically how to monetize your blog through networking. So it was very interesting. There were four of us speaking on this topic. I was the moderator, as well as Felicia Jones from Keeping Up With Mrs. Jones, Elise Bloom, who is a really well-known networking coach here in the city of Denver. I've attended her events. She's awesome. And then Nick Evans, who runs the fabulous food blog Machismo. And he was a lot of fun. It was really hilarious. He has little people. He has little kids. And they had issues because kids do. And he was like, you know, I just had kids this morning, kids stuff going on. But it was really funny. And I was like, you know, it would have been really fun to see the kids today. But anyway, I had a great time moderating this panel. And afterwards, I was just thinking, and I've been kind of thinking about this, it would be helpful to share how I grow my network through moderating, how you can grow your brand that way, and just how you can do it well so that people, specifically the event organizers and the attendees, will be like, hey, we loved what you talked about. We loved how you ran the panel. We loved the panel, and we want you to do it again. And I consistently have that experience with the different panels and different events I've been involved with. And so I thought, this is a good time to have this conversation. Sadly, this is also the second time I'm recording this because the first time the audio was all funky. So I'm crossing my fingers, send me good vibes. I'm thinking that it's going to go well this time. Through all the reasons why you should say yes when someone asks you to run a panel or to be a panelist. I'm talking about moderating a panel. You can also take it as being a panelist as well, but I want to really focus on being the moderator, the person who's in charge of other things. So the first thing is, yes, you should be moderating a panel because it helps to position you as an authority on the topic that you're having a conversation on. You might not be the primary authority because there's panelists as well, but it's still is an opportunity to show that you know what you're talking about. So yes, you should say yes to becoming a moderator for a panel on a topic that is of interest to you. You really need to understand the topic that you'll be moderating. Sometimes you'll end up moderating a topic, like it's a little off topic for you. Just reach out to the panelists and ask them, what are the questions that you think I should ask you so that the audience gets the benefit of your expertise in this, like your viewpoint in this. Let them lead the conversation if the topic is a little outside your wheelhouse. It's totally fine. You need to be very clear about what the event organizers expect from you. So I've attended panels, a lot of panels, and I remember the ones that go a little left, where things just go horribly wrong. I attended a panel at Denver Startup Week. The moderator was fabulous. It just was one of those things where there were way too many panelists for the discussion, and I think that was part of the issue. And so the moderator is just rocking it, and one of the panelists just says something that kind of sucked the energy out of the room. And it was one of those things where I was already kind of like not loving some of the responses or comments from a couple of the panelists. Just philosophically what they were saying, I was like, oh my God. But it wasn't just what they were saying, it was the energy that they were sharing into the room. So as a moderator, sometimes you have to moderate that, where your panelists are starting to go a little left and you're like, we need to get you back on track because that's not the point of this panel. A point of a panel is not to bitch and gripe and be upset about stuff. It is to connect people. It's to help them learn something new. It's to help them grow. It should never turn into some weird bitch session or griping about some topic like where there's no resolution. That I think that is a huge mistake that moderators allow to happen, where they just let people kind of go off on things. And the purpose of a really well-run panel, have people leave with things that they can do to resolve the problem for whatever topic it is you were talking about. Basically, the problem that they were having or the issue that they were having with the topic that you were discussing. So yesterday, we were discussing how to grow blog income through networking. If I started fussing about it's so hard to network because I'm an introvert, blah, 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 like that's not helpful and that's crazy. If I had a panelist who started doing that, that's not helpful and that's crazy. So you have to shut that down. So if you're going to moderate, you're going to have to be really comfortable with the idea of shutting some of those things down. Just saying. You need to connect with your panelists with a complete rundown of how the panel will be moderated. You'll get some people that get really way too in their heads about this. You're talking about either your business, a philosophy, a habit, or whatever it is, something that's deeply connected with yourself. So how this could be complicated, I don't know, but for some people, it seems like it is. So you will get panelists who get really in their heads about how it should be. And honestly, it's just helpful to communicate what the expectations are for the panel, the length of time that you'll be running the panel, if you're going to have people asking questions throughout the course of the panel, at the end, no questions whatsoever. There's some events where you can't ask questions. There's some events where they have you submit questions prior to the panel and you have to just like read them out loud, which I freaking hate those. But if you're on a panel like that and you're moderating it, boom, you just have to do what you gotta do because that's what the event organizer has decided. You need to email the questions you're gonna ask the panelists. You need to also say, these are the questions I may, emphasis on may, ask you. And be clear that the questions will change during the event because they always do, and to pretend otherwise is just disingenuous. There are some moderators who will create a list of questions and literally read each question. Those moderators are needing to practice moderating. I want to say other things, but it's not a good habit to build where you're moderating a conversation and you're like, okay, and now our next question is blah, blah, blah. And then the next question is blah, blah, blah. Like that's not a normal conversation. It's very stilted. It's a little weird. If there are certain things that you want to make sure you ask, have them down. You want to encourage an organic and interesting conversation for both you and the audience. I would say that some of my success with running panels is I encourage audience participation. I hate it when you're at a panel and you're not allowed to ask questions until the end. And the reason why is a lot of people leave at the end because they've disconnected from the the energy of the panel. It kind of takes away from the energy. What if no one has questions at the end? It's kind of like a wah, wah, wah. So I prefer to have people ask questions throughout the course of the panel. And the reason why is it keeps people engaged. People like me don't forget their questions. You don't lose the energy, like the momentum behind a question. Like you and the panelists could be really having this intense conversation about this one thing. And then the audience member gets hyped up and they're like, I have a question about that. But then if you're like, wait, you need to ask like in 20 minutes, it's just not, it just falls flat and they're going to be like, whatever. So I strongly recommend having people ask questions throughout the course of the conversation because it's, a conversation. You need to challenge your panelists. So by this, what I mean is your panelists are experts, but so are you. And when they make certain comments about different topics related to the panel, it is perfectly okay to push back on what they say when appropriate. It doesn't mean you're trying to disprove what they're saying. You're just trying to give a viewpoint that might be missed if you don't bring it up. So an example of this was one of the panelists, so sweet, was making the point that they are very methodical in the way that they approach building a course. And when I was listening, I totally understood because this is a person I really like. I know how they work. But then I was worried that people would get the idea that you have to really plan and do things a certain way before you ever implement an idea. And so I made the point, I was like, well, I made a decision to create a course and I knew the interest was there. I built it within a week and I started selling it. It's ugly, but it sells and I can use the money for my ugly course to make it pretty. And the point wasn't to say that the other panelist was wrong. The point was to say that there's an in-between, that yes, you can plan stuff, but you don't want to plan to the point where you don't act. That was really the thought behind me interjecting. And people thought it was really funny because I was like, I have an ugly course, but I'm making money. And it gave people something to think about, like, okay, maybe me trying to get this thing super perfect is getting in my way. And it's good that I have this like kind of set up and methodically thought out, but maybe I could just implement and go. So it's totally okay to push back on what your panelists are saying, as long as you're respectful and it makes sense and it's within the context of the conversation. Change the stage setup. So sometimes the stage is set up in a way where it's just weird. It may be that your panelists are way too far from the audience, or they're set up like grade school kids, or the seats are weird, whatever. If you need to change the stage setup within reason, do. You do need to make sure that you connect with the people running the stage because they might be like, well, you can't. And you just have to respect that and make it work. But usually they're pretty flexible and you can just make it work. So just make sure that you are aware of how the stage setup can make or break the conversation. I actually, because one of our panelists yesterday was pregnant, I had a table set up by her. There were flowers on the table. I had, the reason why was because I knew she would get thirsty and we had a little glass of water or tea or something for her. And then the other two people were sitting next to her, but everyone was closer than how the seats were arranged originally. Like I moved it and I was standing, but I was like moving around because I move around and it was much better. It was much more comfortable for me. They were comfortable. And I should mention, if you have a guest who has something going on, they're not feeling well, they're pregnant, they have something that would make them feel a little discomfort, take care of them. Like just think about it. All right. So make sure, and this seems so self-explanatory, but you need to familiarize yourself with the panelists. One of the things that I've noticed recently is that conference planners are mixing up panelists in order to create better panels, basically. So maybe I've submitted a panel, I'm a moderator, and I have four people that I'm like, these are the people I want to speak on this. And then all of a sudden, as we get closer to the event, the event organizer is like, hey, I've got this other person I want to add to your panel. You're going to have to figure out who they are and how they relate to the topic, why the event organizer felt like they were a good fit. usually it's fine, but you just need to familiarize yourself with them. With the people that you know well, make sure you really are clear on what they're doing and how their expertise relates to the topic. Sometimes the people you know really well will change what they're doing and you might miss out on that. So just be careful to double check everything. Know the session schedule and stick to it. This is a respect thing. This is a reading the room thing. This is a big issue. So most sessions will run for like an hour. They run for a certain period of time and then there's like typically a break and then another session happens. So you want to be very aware of the timing for your session. You don't want to be the person who runs late because that will eat into the timing for the next session. It's just disrespectful and it's not okay. So I've noticed that sometimes people will have those time clock people in the back of the room. I find them highly distracting. It's just weird. All of a sudden there's a person sticking a white paper up. We all have cell phones. Just look at your phone and set the timer and be like, hey guys, so we're setting the timer. And I mean, depending on the room, you can literally be like, we're setting the timer. So we're going to keep it tight and we're going to have a good conversation. And this is how it's going to go. You want to set it so that if it's an hour long conversation, probably there might be some opening remarks. You need to figure out that the timing for that. You need to figure out the timing for just the actual conversation itself, because I have comments throughout it. What I do is I will, if it's an hour, I will allocate 40 minutes. And then that way we're never rushing and it always ends right on time. That also allows people to network afterwards. So I always want to give time to network at the end with the panelists themselves. So it seems to be a good best practice. People like the opportunity to speak to the panelists. I hate having to rush between session to session. I still attend sessions at some of the big events that I go to, but I think that you have to build that into your timing, the networking. So just think about that. Prepare, prepare, prepare. That's it. It's self-explanatory. Know your topic. Understand it. Know it as it relates to you. Have fun and don't take yourself too seriously. We've got people who like are way too in their heads about what they're doing. So I was at Denver Startup Week and I was having a great time and I went to see a speaker and the person who was moderating the conversation, who was interviewing the person, I couldn't figure out if they just got weird and really in their head and like, I couldn't figure out if they were normally that way. And it was really distracting and I think that they kind of like fanned out a little bit. Don't be that person. Like just be yourself, have fun, enjoy it. Don't like fan out on a guest. Pull yourself together and get it done and be normal. To this day, I was like, are they really like that? And I couldn't figure it out. Please remember that a panel moderator is basically guiding panelists to facilitate a conversation. That is it. We're not teaching people. Like that would be a lecture. And I think sometimes people run panels in that way, and that's a mistake. We're facilitating a conversation. And the most important thing to remember is this. The audience comes first, and they need to leave any panel with at least 3 action items that they can act on after the panel itself. So I think part of the reason why my panels are so successful is I let the panelists know that that's my goal, that I want people to leave with actionable things that they can do, steps that they can take to address the issue that they went to see the panel about so that they can move forward. I'm not saying like 55 steps ahead. I'm just saying let's leave people with 3 or 4 things that they actually could do starting that day, like to resolve a problem, to solve a problem. And I think that that is the most important skill you can develop, is not only reading the room, being energized, being energetic, drink some coffee before you get up there. You need to be like you're basically an MC. Like imagine you're a DJ. So you, and if you're an introvert, you can do it. Just get a lot of coffee up in you. You get up there, you read the room, you watch and see if the people's heads are nodding. Are they shaking their heads? Are they writing notes? Are they leaving the room? what is going on. And as you moderate over and over again, you'll be able to manage the room better each time. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Michelle is Money Hungry. I hope you will go out there and become a kick-ass panel moderator in 2019. I'm going to be honest, I am thrilled that I will not be moderating another panel probably until May. I'm part of an event that's happening in May. Can't announce that yet. And I am fine with the fact that I won't be moderating until then because I'm focusing on making money. Hey, what can I say? I hope you had a great day today. If you enjoyed the show, please do subscribe. Make sure you like and review the show. Email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com if you have any questions. And if you are interested in the Brand Building Lab, you want to network, prosper, and thrive, you want to grow your online brand, figure out how to network and connect with people who will move you forward, live your best life, and focus on self-care, schedule a 30-minute free strategy session at michelleismoneyhungry.com/discovery. Again, that's michelleismoneyhungry.com/discovery. Have a great night. Take care. Bye.